Here's the thing. Summer always exposes the truth about your wardrobe because there are the clothes you think you wear, and then there are the three things you actually reach for over and over again because they're comfortable, easy, and somehow still make you feel put together. That's exactly why I keep coming back to Quince. Quince people, I feel like they've mastered that balance between looking elevated and being genuinely so wearable. They're like the kind of pieces you throw on without thinking, and somehow you always get complimented when you're wearing them. I always get complimented when I'm wearing a Quince piece. And let me tell you what, summertime means I am loving and living in Quince's linen pieces. First of all, let me tell you about these linen pieces. They look so chic, like summering in capri. And also they're lightweight, breathable, and perfect for those days like lately when it's been very hot, when it's way too hot to wear anything complicated. They're so gorgeous. Go online, go on their website and check it out. I promise you'll be obsessed. The linen, the pieces, the sets. Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, beautiful. And the one thing I really appreciate about Quince is the value. They use premium materials like 100% European linen, organic cotton, washable silk, and soft denim, but without the luxury brand markup that usually comes with those fabrics. In fact, most of their products are priced about 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And the reason they can do that is because they worked directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for the quality of the product rather than a giant brand name attached to it. They've also expanded way beyond clothing. You can find home goods, bedding, kitchen essentials, and a bunch of other elevated everyday items that make life feel a little nicer.
Yeah, and fam, we are talking quality, okay? We are talking luxurious. I recommend Quince to everyone. If I was still a wardrobe stylist, I'd be getting all of my clients' pieces from Quince. Like I said, their linen sets have basically become my summer uniform, and I have a couple pieces that have reached that status where they're always being worn in the laundry or waiting to be worn again. They're just the best. Go online, I'm telling you. So many amazing things on Quince. You got to check it out. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/momdad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/momdad for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/momdad.
Welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Welcome back, my dude.
Welcome back. How was your big weekend for us?
Big weekend.
Yeah. How was yours?
Ember, I don't know if you saw on social media, everybody, but Ember graduated preschool. And she... She had the cap and the gown, and my parents came, and you just saw in their faces, like, what is happening? You know what I mean? Like, the old school kind of just mentality, like, she has a cap and a gown, and she graduated preschool, and I'm, like, so proud, and I'm, like, tearing up, and me and Jess are just, like, celebrating, and they're just like, what world am I living in? Like, I didn't even know where your school was.
It's a hell of a...
Let alone you have a cap and a gown.
One hell of a participation award right there.
Incredible. Huh? But it was the cutest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I bet.
They were doing songs, and they would like, no joke, they did the thing like where they call you up and they hand you the diploma. And then, like, they say some things about you. They're like, well, Ember, you know, is always the life of the party, and she likes to make sure everyone's having a good time.
How much was she beaming?
She was like kind of embarrassed. She was kind of like playing it cool. Like, everyone's sitting in the line. She was in the front row and she was just talking to her friends the whole time.
Oh yeah. Playing it super cool.
Playing it super cool. Like, definitely not just, you getting
know,
it.
Well, you know what? So I congratulated Ember on her graduation earlier today, and hers.
It's the all time response.
I go, Ember, I saw on this weekend that you were in a cap and gown and that you had graduated. And she goes, I know.
It's like, dude, what? Like, don't patronize me. Okay.
Like,
tell me something you like about what I've done, not just tell me that I did something like, that I already know I did.
Fuck me, dude.
Yep. I'm like, okay, welcome to the party, bro.
It's like, well, I hope you know that you graduated.
I hope that you know that I graduated.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you doing?
I'm just trying to say, congratulations. Congratulations, Amber.
And she's like, yes. You're welcome.
She's like, who invited this? Why is he
here? Why is this guy here? He's like, what does he do here?
Literally.
Did he graduate? I don't think he did. I'd love to see a cap and gown on this fool. I've not seen a single picture.
That's how she made me feel. I was in the kitchen. I was like, okay. This is the last time I try to.
You're like, it's okay, fine, whatever. Fine.
Okay.
Here's your gift. Bye. How was your weekend?
Good. It was really good. Up with Becca's family. Mm. Got to play some golf. A lot of golf.
Ooh, how'd you shoot?
It's great. I actually did pretty well. Bogey golf.
Dude, can't complain about bogey golf.
I'm happy with bogey golf.
Shot like a 90-ish?
Mm-hmm. Like 92 would be perfect bogey game. I probably did like 92.
But it's a 72.
If 71 was par, I shot around 94.
Okay. But perfect bogey, not to be a stickler here, but perfect bogey golf would be in an 89.
Yeah.
Because it's 18 over. So you're being a little liberal with bogey golf. That's all I'm saying. You're being a little liberal. Look, you're the guy that goes up to the putt. It's like a 6 foot putt. You go, this is good, right? This is good. I don't need to putt this. And you're like, no, dude.
No. We do it if it's within the
on the green, it's good.
If it's before,
we don't even break the
putters
out.
Depending on the shot, if it's within the grip of your putter, though,
that's like 2 feet.
Yeah, if it's in the grip, you got to pick it up.
Well, let's see.
You're not even allowed to have one
right here. Okay, so this is like a foot and a quarter.
I play with the putter that comes. I got an extended grip. Your grip is
His putter's 9 feet.
I rest it down here, and I do the chin putt.
Everyone else has a nine inch grip, and you have a 47 inch grip.
They're steel. They show about 2.5 feet of steel. I'm showing about 4 feet.
It's within the grip.
If it's within the grip,
and it extends. You can actually pull it, and it extends.
They wrote the rules.
Listen, man, I'm abiding by the rules. You complain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, I should have bogey golf limit 97, 98.
Sorry, dude.
I'm good, dude.
You might be playing on a par 72. I'm playing par 76, par 78.
Oh, wow. I've never even heard of those.
Well, you know.
Very advanced.
Yeah. So I played well.
That's awesome. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good weekend with the family.
It was also the first time I put money on golf.
Oh, how'd you do? Did you win some money?
Took $20 off of Becca's brother.
That's all that matters.
It's so nice to win money.
Did you keep the money?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So you actually collected.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to bet, you need to pay up, you know?
I love that.
Funny is, like, her dad keeps talking to me. He's like, you played so much better than I expected you to play. And I'm constantly like, Joe, like, I'm telling you how often I'm playing. Like, how bad do you think I am?
Like, I play enough to be decent.
He's played with me. Where I'm like,
is he good?
Joe's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty good. I mean, he plays often. Like,
well, he's like, what, in his mid 50s? So he definitely takes it seriously.
Probably playing, when he's really playing, he's probably playing 2 to 3 times a week and hitting the range.
That's a lot.
In between those times.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of golf.
He can play golf.
Yeah.
So like when we're putting, he's like, okay, like, you know, this green, you're going to want to do this. Yeah. And I'm like, Joe, it doesn't look like it's going to do this. It's fine. Don't listen to me.
You're like, Joe, I'm just trying to hit it straight. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then you see it go, and he's like trying to walk up to him about like, you need to start thinking about the way the green's breaking as you're walking up to it. From the like, he's like,
he's serious.
Yeah, dead serious. But he's also someone where it's like, he could literally care less about his golf game. He's just like, if you have the capacity to do well, you should try and do your best.
He's analytical.
Yeah, very much so. He's competitive, but he's got like a really good, he's very good natured about being competitive, because he's also someone where it's like, he has a lot of fun if everyone around him is having fun.
Sure. So he wants you to get better.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to stuff you, but he's also like, he's very much like, well, if you're going to make a bet, like,
make sure you're taking it seriously.
You got to take your bet seriously.
I love that.
No bad attitudes.
No bad attitudes.
Win with grace, lose with grace.
Oh my gosh.
Or as Becca says, win with grace, lose with Grayston.
Oh, that's a good diss.
Yeah. That's a great diss. She writes them, you know?
I love it. It was savage.
Bachelor, well, though.
We're back in it, man. It's crazy to think we're back in it. For
Have you recovered? We were both a little...
We got teary-eyed, guys. It was actually a hilarious moment. So, in this last episode...
We watched together.
We watched together the last episode. And during the time where Michael was confessing to Katie about his ex-wife's death, I tear up a little bit and I wipe my eye, but I kind of make it look like I'm just itching my eye. And then I look, we kind of like, for a second, we kind of look over at each other and he's wiping, he's like itching his eye. And he goes, "You tearing up over there?" And I, without even the ability to kind of like just, I just, yeah. And he goes, "Me too." But we were both kind of playing it off like we were all like itchy eyed. Like I was just like, oh, the allergies are bad. It was
really bad tonight.
We both got totally caught off guard by how intense of a moment that was.
Oh my gosh. We thought we were braced for it when he tells it to the guys.
Yeah, because, well, yeah, it's also, yeah, we've already heard it. So it's
so
like,
you're like, how bad could it be? And then you're like, oh my God.
The weight of it in the moment was very heavy. Okay, but that's not where we start because we do episodes every 2 weeks. We are now here.
Going back in time.
So we're going to kind of do some chronological stuff, but you know, like in normal Chatty Bros fashion, it will be messy. It will be everywhere. It will not be super chronological. It will be like our personalities.
Well, one of the nice things I like about this too, is we can just break down that last week's episode into like what the big play-by-plays were and how those things carried over into this episode. Mm.
So the first thing is sex theater.
Yeah.
You know, first off, we've kind of, I feel like the Bachelorette like writers are getting a little lazy because it's kind of like, okay, we're doing this thing again. Like it's kind of the theater thing about sex again. Like, didn't we just do this?
Literally
just did it. They just recycling it.
Yeah. And the other one is, I feel like, is there just one note that makes Katie exceptional as like the Bachelor?
Yeah, it's just a little bit.
Which is that she's like sex positive.
Right.
That's pretty much like, we know Katie misses her dad.
Right.
And that she's very sexual. She's very sexually positive. And this is literally what we have to go on. Other than like, I guess her behavior in the previous seasons where, you know, she was kind of a house referee.
Right. And I just feel like...
Calls him how she sees him.
Yeah, and it's just... It's typical, like, bachelorette fashion writing style to just, like, take one little thing about you and make it the thing.
The thing. It's defining.
And I felt that way with the virgin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a little bit like, here's something unique about this guy. That he's older and he's a virgin, but he's this handsome, successful guy. And instead of making it like, it's become so clear that like that's 80% of the reason why he's on the show. We're like, oh, there's a weird thing. Let's use that and make that his entire arc.
And that it seems counterintuitive to what we think about him because we see him as like handsome, successful, charming.
Yes.
All these things. And you're like, oh, that guy would never be a virgin.
Yes. Because he looks like he probably gets with a lot of women or whatever.
And so then lo and behold, he's on the date. The sex theater date. This honestly, though, this was another one. I was, man.
I'm spacing on his name.
I'm spacing on his name so bad. But I was watching this with Becca and we were getting like super mad at this one. Of like, dude, like what dicks? Like this guy's going to get eaten alive on this show. And then I loved the turnaround. I really did. I loved the turnaround on that. But he just comes out and...
He handled it so well. Because, we get into what he did, let's talk about how intense the buildup was.
Oh, yeah.
Because so he sees this coming, Mike. Mike sees this coming and he's starting to sweat. Because it's right away. Right? It's right away. They don't even like warm up to this thing where it's like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in. It's like right away they're like sex theater. And he is immediately having an anxiety attack.
He's like, I thought I was going to have a lot of time to be able to build up to this. I really felt compassionate for him when he was saying that he thought it was going to be more of an intimate moment where he would be able to talk to Katie about it
yeah.
and have it be something about the two of them and their relationship.
Yeah.
And not like him in contrast to half of the, well, actually all of the guys show up because they're all there to watch it.
Right. It was a little, man, I felt bad for the guy. So at first, when the whole virgin thing came out, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit like, dude, why are you here? Like, this is a weird show. We talked about this kind of during the cast break. That's like, you know, there's going to be fantasy suites. You know that this thing's high. You know, like, that she talks about sex positivity, all this stuff. I'm thinking like, it's kind of a weird show to join if you're a virgin. And then you're like, and it would also like the amount of intensity and like the fact that he was like sobbing so much. And it was like, it was so much more of a deal than like, oh, you know what? I just want to save myself for my marriage. It was like sobbing every 10 seconds. And I was like, dude, this dude is like balled up about this. And I just thought a little bit like, man, they're putting a lot of pressure on this guy to handle this. And it was not going great, in my opinion, when it came to the buildup. I just thought like, this is not looking good. Like, this guy's crying nonstop. Like, what is going to happen with this guy?
Because they make it look like he's about to get utterly humiliated.
Yeah, it was like really, I was like, I'm scared.
Which, you know, what I really like the spin on it was, is they made us feel that way because that's how this stuff has been taken in the past.
Yeah.
Or it's sort of like, I'm thinking about this now, becoming more aware of like the way we think about that, of that it is humiliating to be a virgin.
Yeah.
At those older things of like, that's why we're looking at it in that way. And he utterly owned our asses.
That's what was so cool about it. So the buildup was like, this is embarrassing. He's being humiliated. She's sex positive. The guys have hooked up with a lot of women. Like, there's this sense that everyone's comfortable with all this.
Totally. And he's like
anxiety attacking in the
back.
They
know their way around the bedroom. They know what makes a woman happy. They know what, like, you know, they know what a woman wants in sex.
And he even said, like, when they were talking, when it was like the whole thing was starting and, you know, they all walk in. He even goes, yeah. And like, there's a bed with a bunch of sex stuff on it. And I was like, that's like the way that he described like sex toys was like very innocent. And I was like, oh, bro, this is going to go so bad.
But then what do we see? That all these guys who are touting their like, you know,
yep,
their confidence.
It was like a cringe fest.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible to watch. They're going like, what was it?
I did like Connor's though. The song was good.
The song was good.
The song was great.
It was just enough.
Just enough. He made it funny. He made it quirky. He made it kind of dumb. And then he was done.
That he twiddles the keys.
It wasn't too dirty. You
know, no. It was right there. He towed the line very well. Who was it? Someone came out and was like aggressively humping stuff.
Yes.
That was strange.
Okay, broads, we are here to interrupt the bros to send you some important messages. So we have talked about how we never liked to show up early for things. We don't want to put out our host. It's very important to us. But in LA, I don't want to be late for meetings, so Lord knows I always arrive early and wait in my car. But then your girl is bored. Mm. Well, I found my new secret weapon, the easiest way to pass the time, and that's with Best Fiends.
Best Fiends is the digital puzzle game that keeps your brain engaged while also passing the time. I know we're all prone to scrolling social media whenever there's a free moment, but even that gets old, and Best Fiends has thousands of fun levels to work your way through and add more, and they add more each week, so no matter how little or how often you play, there's always something new to discover. And like I've said before, the thing I like about having a game on my phone is instead of it adding more screen time, it takes away from my social media time, which is just way better for my mental and emotional well-being.
Girl, facts on facts. I think that's what I love the most about Best Fiends over other games. With other games, I feel like it is such a time commitment too, and you have to be super invested to get good or know what's going on. With Best Fiends, it's designed to be fun no matter how much time you have. There could be hours on a road trip or 4 minutes waiting for your appointment at the bank. If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time, avoid some social media time, download Best Fiends. Just don't blame us if you end up becoming obsessed.
Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
So broads, periods are not the most pleasant experience on the planet. I get that they mean that our bodies are at work, and yes, that is amazing, but I don't think anyone loves bleeding for a week, plus all of the other lovely things that come along with your period, not the most fun. And on top of all that, our options for period care are just downright horrendous in the past. You've got pretty much two options, neither of which are great for everything, could potentially be dangerous or aren't good for the planet.
Oh my gosh, yeah, literally life-threatening.
Yeah, for real. And they're not good for the planet either, so take your pick, I guess. Or don't. because FlexFit is here to revolutionize period care. And I gotta say, they're doing a pretty good job at that.
FlexFit has two options. The first is the Flex Cup, which I absolutely love. I've been a big fan of cups for a very long time. It's very easy to use. This is the one that I tell all my friends to start to try out the first time, because cups can be a little bit intimidating, especially if you've been used to tampons your whole life. But nothing to worry about with the Flex Cup. It's super soft. It's completely safe. There's no waste. And if you're new to cups, FlexFit's experts provide tons of videos and diagrams to help walk you through how to use your Flex Cup. Once you do it the first time, I promise you won't ever go back to your old products. Also, like, the learning curve, your first period, you might be struggling to figure it out, but you're going to get the hang of it. And after it, I swear you will never go back. It's life-changing for me. I've been using it. I've been using a cup since 7 years now, and I seriously will never go back.
The first cup I actually ever used was Flex Cup, and I went on their website and used the video, and it fully helped me. It took out away any of the intimidation. Nice. It was amazing. The other option, which I love as well, is the Flex Disc. It's not a cup and it's definitely not a tampon. Honestly, it's not really like anything I've ever seen before. It basically has this moldable ring around a soft plastic cup area, and it's amazing. It uses 60% less waste than tampons. It lasts for 12 hours, and it's that only product that lets you have mess-free period sex.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's incredible.
Mess-free penetration mm-hmm. during your period. Go to flexfits.com/chatty. Use code chatty for 20% off Flex Disc starter kits or 10% off your first Flex Cup plus free US shipping. That's code chatty at flexfits.com/chatty.
Okay, well, let's first talk about let's talk about Mike's, because I thought it, like you said, like I was sweating bullets. I was like, he was sweating bullets. He was sitting there just like red-eyed, like I don't know what to do. When he gets up there and he just kind of reads this letter.
I thought it was going to be a poem, and then I was confused why it wasn't.
I was freaking out
rhyming.
Too. I was like, here we, yeah, right.
He started off like it was like, going to be a poem, and I was like, what the fuck does this
like, where's the rhyme, bro?
What's going on here?
And it was just this honest take on, hey, this is what's important to me. This is what I'm trying to do. No, and another thing I like about him, no judgment. He's not like judgmental. He's not weird about it. He's just super like, this is what's important to me. This is what I'm trying to do. And I want to love my partner, and this is how I want to do it. And I respect you, and I like you a lot. And it was like, whoa, like he just disarmed all the anxiety so fast.
He also said keywords right there, which this is to any guy listening with their partner. He goes, I want you to feel safe and comfortable. That's key. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the two biggest keys right there. If you're going to do anything sexual with anybody, is to make them feel safe.
Yes.
And comfortable.
And I just felt like he disarmed it so well.
It was incredible. Look at us right now. We're literally even having a hard time just talking about, we're just sort of like, yeah, that's it. He laid it. That's a mic drop.
I thought he was going to get roasted. I thought it was going to be all the guys were going to start talking shit. Like it, to the point where all the guys stood up and like, they like clapped. They're like, dude, that's awesome.
I just felt like clapping right then and there.
So let's go the opposite.
Yeah.
Who do you think did the worst one?
Carl.
I mean, without a doubt. He brought up a life-size statue of her and was taking bananas and rubbing it
all over her face?
On her face and body. It was creepy.
It was...
And like felt very like unrehearsed too. It just felt like it's like when someone drunk goes up and does karaoke and you're just like, whoa, that was the vibe of that. He just kind of walks up and he's just like, I'm going to wing this and it's going to be great. But it was brutal.
Carl just as a person, his entire presence on this show is sort of like, I'm constantly like speechless.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved how much I hated it. But so I hated it. But here's what I loved about it.
Okay, go.
I loved how much it got under Justin's skin.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just love when someone who's so crazy and, you know, seemingly you just wouldn't even give time of day, gets under your under someone's skin who seemingly is super put together. Like Justin's like cool guy, art guy, chilling, like nothing gets under his skin. He's on a, and then you just saw him like talking shit from the crowd, rolling
every
his
single
eyes.
Thing he says, like, oh, we got it. Yeah.
Get off the stage, whatever. Like he was grinding.
And he's like, who wants it? Carl's up there. He's like, tell me who wants it. And he's like, no one in this room, Carl. Like the And it's like everyone can hear him.
Like, chill. You're making yourself look bad. Let Carl roast himself.
Totally.
Justin, be cool, man, because the more that you talk, because she even at one point defended Carl. She was kind of like, guys, they're roasting you. Just keep going, Carl. And I was like, Justin, dude, like, you're not letting him, you got to chill out.
Yeah.
Which is classic Bachelor, Bachelorette problematic because people get so wrapped up in everybody else's stuff.
Not to jump way too far ahead, but that was what I saw happening on Aaron's face when Thomas comes out to interrupt him. Is... Thomas has his smile, his Botox smile.
Yeah.
And then Katie is sitting there smiling with the, like, this situation's so weird. And Aaron's just like, I'm confused. Because he doesn't know if he should defend his time.
Yeah.
He doesn't know if he should be aggressive, because in that way, a lot of the times being super aggressive and like overly masculine is very off-putting in those situations. And it could be like, take the high road, you know, and walk out of this. But at the same time, he's giving up his time for Katie to get to know anything other than his issues with what's his face, who he got kicked off the show.
Oh, yeah.
And he really needs to clear up that time with her.
There's nothing better than watching someone who doesn't have self-control talk.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best. Because, okay, so we watched the sex thing go down, and I just thought, yeah, it was great, because I thought that I thought Connor was going to win it just because he did a fun, quirky song. I thought Carl was going to be the obvious loser because his was the most cringy. But it was so clear that Mike, the guy who doesn't know anything about sex, was the winner, because it was like he did it so well. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, I felt like I just really liked the guy.
I do too.
I really like the guy. Even the fact that the show's making him all about being a virgin, even though the kind of all tides are against him. He still is just kind of consistently being a really great guy.
Absolutely. I mean, when we see, jumping up into the next episode, when we see him talking with Michael, they're on the workout mat. It's him and who is it? It's Michael and someone else. Anyway, they were on the workout area. Then none of them looked like they were working out. But
no sweat beads.
Mike just seemed like he had, like, he was giving all his attention to him, and he was totally there. Knew how to listen to him, like knew how to be a friend to this guy.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that and I was like, oh, I bet he's such a good friend.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a
good dude. He's not like constantly spouting in his opinions about the situation. He's just sitting there going, totally, man, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Absolutely.
Good guy.
If you want to talk more about it, we're right here.
Not electric, not a passionate fellow.
No.
But a good guy.
Absolutely.
You know, a guy you end up with after a lot of like fun. You know, you're like, you know, this guy will never mess with me. He's going to always
be
solid.
He seems really level-headed, too.
Really level-headed. But not the guy that goes, let's go skydiving to get it today.
No.
He's the guy that goes, let's go apple picking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard there's a great orchard. You know, and actually, babe, on the way, there's a field of flowers you can take some pictures in for your Instagram.
We can take some pictures in there. And then look, for me and you on the way back, when we're all done, when they've had their time, it's a great beef jerky spot we should stop out at.
It's amazing. I know you love that rustic stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
Trust me. And I got a reservation at California Pizza Kitchen. They have unbelievable.
You're like, all right, dude. You know, never been the biggest fan of California Pizza Kitchen, but because I'm a fan of yours,
let's do it.
It's going to be the CPK event ever.
He's kind of like a human, like, strip mall. You know, he's just safe.
We used to dine and ditch at California Pizza Kitchen.
Classic.
The CPK dine and ditch.
Love that.
If you abbreviate the whole thing, the CPK D&D right there, we had it worked out. Someone has to go down, get the car from the parking garage, just run that bill up. I'd be like, oh, can we get a refill on the drinks?
Would you at least tip the server?
Yeah, we'd leave a few bucks.
You leave, okay, as long as you take care of the server.
High school tip.
That's shitty, dude. I'm judging you.
Well, looking
back, I used to work in restaurants when I was a teenager. That happened to me a couple times. I vowed to myself, those people are bad. Okay.
Well,
I do not forgive this.
Didn't work in restaurants.
If you would confess this
later
in the Nick circle, we would have broken up.
What's
a bit
the
of
Nick
problem.
Circle?
The circle later on in the episode 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Nick circle.
Really? But it didn't happen to me. I didn't work in restaurants till after all that. I thought I was just having fun. I thought I was having a good time.
Hey, man. That was me. Okay. You hurt me. That was me you ran
from. Would your
from.
Boss yell at you in those situations?
No, but I lose out on the money. If you give me your little shitty high school tip, you know, it's like, hey, man.
But the restaurant doesn't, like, the restaurant doesn't take it out of your pay.
No.
And you still get to keep the tip.
You know what? And I will say this. If you were to run from a restaurant, a national chain's the one to do it, because it's like, they don't need the fucking money.
No, and they don't care.
Right. Okay.
All right.
You're back in.
I'm not at some mom and pop spot. I'm out here at the, I might as well have been at Cheesecake Factory.
Another absolute high school bomb.
I've like never been there.
Oh, but dude, it was like once a week.
My big one was Soup Plantation.
See, I tried it once. It wasn't a hit for me.
It's because it's for old people.
Yeah,
it felt very... used to be able to sneak into Soup Plantation. And once you're in, dude. No one's asking questions once you're in the restaurant.
What do you mean sneak in? You still got to buy shit?
They had this weird like side entrance where it was just an automatic, it was their handicap entrance for old people, but it literally let you in on the other side of the register. So you just walked in.
Were you just stealing shit?
You just walked in. You just walk up with a plate. You just go
because
you just
Soup Plantation is a buffet?
Buffet style.
Oh.
So you just walk in. The only thing you miss out on is the salad bar.
Okay.
Listen, they got the mac and cheese.
I'm confused though.
They got the hot fudge sundae stand. They got all the pizza. They got all the stuff. I mean, really, those are the things I cared about.
Right, that's true. Just desserts
and macaroni and cheese and pizza.
There's six kids over there, no parents in sight, and they have four pieces of cake on there. We should check this out. Someone should ask a question.
Four pieces of cake, dude. We got big old heaping bowls of ice cream.
Oh my god.
Tons of macaroni and cheese. Someone in the DMs, make me feel better about this for myself. Someone talk to me about the dumb, shitty shit you did when you were in high school.
He's feeling like a criminal, right? He's feeling like a bad boy.
I'm feeling like a criminal.
I used to steal Playboys.
I'm feeling judged.
Yeah, when I was like fourth, fifth grade.
I used to steal food. You're over here just cereal wanking it.
I was hardcore.
Yeah, hard. You were hard.
I was hard. That's for sure.
You were hard trying to rub one out somewhere.
Dude, I remember the first, it happened like once or twice. Stole a Playboy from like a convenience store, some drugstore or something, because I remember we were looking at magazines like skateboard magazines, and then we saw the one with the naked girl on it.
Yeah.
And you try to look at it, but you can't look at it because it's got it's in plastic.
Would they black out the plastic so that you could only see like up to the top? Like you can like see her face, and then you just see the title.
And you're just like, what is that about?
Got to know what that's about.
And then I opened it up. It was the first time I'd ever seen like a naked woman's body before. And I was like, what is all that stuff? Like, I didn't even know what I was looking at.
Right.
I was confused.
You knew you liked it though.
I was aroused and confused.
See, that's an interesting thing. Imagine if we did that to like kids at 12, but like they never seen naked anything. Yeah. And you just start holding up pictures of just naked bodies of all different sorts. Just be like, I don't even know what's going on, but I want more of that.
Isn't that weird? Why do you know you like it?
I have no idea.
Isn't that weird? Just body knows. Like, I like that thing I've never seen before. Strange. Oh my gosh. Okay. So back to the episode.
Yeah. Back into it.
One thing you can say about Katie,
mm-hmm.
of all the good things you can say about Katie. Of all the bad things you wanted to say about Katie, I don't think there is any.
I don't really have any bad things
to say
about Katie.
I can't think of any bad things.
Other than her heart's too big.
Yeah, exactly. She is amazing. But one thing you can say about her is that girl loves a makeout.
Loves it.
I mean, and when she makes out with you.
Oh, you're getting.
I think you're in love.
Probably.
Because she makes out with you like you're on your honeymoon. Like it is extremely.
Passionate. It seems like something you've both been looking forward to, but like it's like
she makes out with you like we haven't been able to make out in months, mm-hmm. and we're finally doing it.
I think she's also really into, I don't know how to, she really rewards wanting to make out with her too.
Yes.
Because even the guys who I think ruin it. Well, it's interesting. So we had a conversation about this because I was like, I hate when guys are like, can I kiss you?
Mm.
Because it's so pushy to me. You were saying that it's a sign of consent.
Well, it's tough because it's like when Michael does it, it's like this thing of like, wow, he's really respectful and he's kind of asking the question. Mm-hmm. So there is like a really good way of, you know, doing that.
When Connor does it, it feels like he's begging.
Does Connor ask?
Yeah. And he's like, can I kiss you right now? And she's like, yeah. And then he's super aggressive about it.
And he's
it.
Super like, oh, like it's very erotic almost. It's yeah. a little like, whoa,
I
dude.
Don't you're, like his vibe.
His vibe is wild with the makeouts. But, and then Michael, I think that Connor has the most like wild makeout. Thomas had the most like sexy makeout. He like pulled her up on his leg. Like it was very sexy.
Yep.
Yeah, big time. So that was just after the sex theater. They had like the one on ones at night, and they Connor had a good conversation with her. And I will say this about the girl, now that I'm seeing it, she has range. Like, she'll sit there with Connor, who's like very not alpha male guy. He's just kind of sweet math teacher guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets her to like really engage, and they have a hot makeout sesh. And then the next guy's Thomas, who's like Mr. Soap actor, like handsome alpha male looking dude. And then they have connections. So she definitely, you don't really know exactly. Like, I always think I do. I'm like, oh, she's kind of into the more like nerdy guy. Like, and then all of a sudden she'll flip right over to like the suit. I was like, I can't really pin exactly what the vibe is.
So I think he's like, we were saying that Thomas is soap opera hot.
Yeah.
Or like newscaster hot.
Yeah, he's TV hot.
Yeah, you're totally daytime TV hot, like early 2000s ER.
He's got like the shiny Botox forehead. You know, he looks like he's just like, hello.
Hospital show.
He totally would kill it.
He's your doctor on the hospital show.
100%. Like he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's that guy. 100%. You can't really, he doesn't have like a big trusting vibe going on. He has that like very like, hello. And back to the news, you know.
No, and the way he smiled through that whole, I don't want to jump too ahead. We'll get into it.
So then we go from that and we get into Carl.
Carl.
I mean, here's the thing I'm going to say about Carl.
Carl. We're getting into like the Carl drop, right?
The Carl drop.
Yeah. So these are the big events. Well, also we have Greg's whole fucking deal.
Well, okay. Well, Carl is just... Let's wait on Carl, because Carl's after all that.
Yeah.
Carl, though, is starting to kind of just say a lot of things like, I'm the man and I'm going to get the rose tonight. And it's just like, dude, you haven't done anything for the role. Like, what are you talking? He's so... I just love a super unself-aware guy who's just so out to lunch where you're like, dude, are you even here right now? Like, what are you talking about?
He's getting high on his own supply.
I love it.
And he's trying to hype himself up into being like... You're not going to get the rose if you don't think you're going to get the rose.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
You got to convince yourself that you're getting in there and you're walking out with the rose with the girl at the end. You need to visualize the goal and see yourself achieving it.
On three, I want to hear you say rose.
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 Rose. And you see him in there. He's like, you got to get in there and shadow box your enemies. Just practice it with me right now. Just pop, pop, boom. That's out. All the competition. KO'd.
What's this one? Negativity. What's this one? Competition. Negativity. Competition. Rose on three. Rose. Like, it's that shit. It's like very like, it's motivational speaker shit. Everything feels like he's like about to turn to the camera and go, and that is all in my new book.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go on the Greg date.
Great date.
Dude,
Greg gave a great date.
Greg's got it in the bag.
There's
it's his to lose.
Literally no competition here. No matter what kind of step forward we see Katie make with another guy, it pales in comparison to the mile that Greg has on them. He has lapped them all four times. He's ran the full mile before they even started.
The word I would use to describe Greg is effortless.
But a lot of people think he's trying harder than anyone else on the show.
And that's the thing about
him. What we've seen so far... Smooth operator.
It's not even about... I don't even care about the opinion of whether you trust him or not. One thing you do know is he is killing it.
Absolutely.
Like, he's effortless.
What do you get?
He doesn't really care. And you could tell that kind of drives her a little wild, because she's kind of like... She's kind of treating him the whole time. She's like... He's put her in the position to kind of win him over. Which is like, once you have someone in that position, it's like over, because...
So...
All the other guys are like, I'm going to guard your heart and you're my girl, right? And he's just going like, yeah, I'm having a good time. And all of a sudden she's going, oh, are you, you know.
First impression, in the back. First date, in the back.
In the back.
On the date, my man not only shares the trauma.
Oh, that was the pin of all pins.
They sit there holding each other through their shared experience, and he doesn't push it into a sexy makeout.
Nope.
He does a comfort hug. A mutually comforting hug for each other.
Yep. It was, and even the whole day,
mm-hmm.
chill. Mm-hmm. Kind of was, he had the moment of, I don't really know how to set up a tent.
Oh my
being
God.
Being funny. She had to help him, so there's already a help there.
So I was kind of pissed about that because, oh my gosh, there's so many things. Okay, first off, so step away from just Greg's, and perfect date.
Okay.
Katie's truck.
Sick.
What the fuck is up with the seats? I was so mad about the pink seats. That truck should have a bench. That truck should have a bench.
Oh, did it have like
they
captain's
chairs?
They both
had captain's chairs.
Oh, that's a bench. They like swapped
with
it out.
With armrests. Yeah, they completely swapped also, it out. It was like a
windows.
West Coast Choppers like style. Dude, the thing had like pink neon like, with rims.
It was very weird.
It was rims and the thin, little thin road tires and
it's
they're going
like
on
all,
the dirt
the
road.
The only thing they could get in the
there
area.
There were so many things that upset me about what was going on. If city truck, cool, I guess, kind of. I want a bench. I do want a
classic
bench truck. When
I'm Western.
They missed the opportunity to sit and saddle up next to each other. Think about Katie drives to that spot they were at. Based on the connection they made there, Greg should be driving back and she should be snuggled up right up against him, mm-hmm. sharing a blanket, mm. arm over, maybe a little hot cocoa in the seat.
I like that.
You know what I'm talking about?
The dates are getting cheap. I mean,
dates are getting cheap.
We saw it back when the COVID one hit.
Mm-hmm.
When they were doing the one during COVID, it was like these dates were like $10 dates.
Well, they have Chris Harrison was part of the dates.
They'd just be like, hey, sit in the field and talk.
Here's the blanket. We threw it out there.
Remember the other one was like, yo, here's a little fireplace.
And just
fucking sit there and eat some cheese.
It's these like, guys didn't even what? Get. I haven't seen one charcuterie board.
They didn't even get that. They got a tent and a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a weak river. It wasn't even like a nice setup. It kind of just looked like a random runoff.
Yeah.
So, but the date itself, I just thought like he had vulnerable moments. He had moments where he was cool. He never was like super physical with her. So he never was like this kind of, he never had this desperateness of like, can I make out with you? Like, it was always just chill.
No.
And he is very like nerdy mixed with like player. It was like the perfect mix. So where he felt like he wasn't intimidating to her, but at the same time felt confident.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how you feel about Greg, the dude knows how to do it.
He's like, got game. The
he's
thing
got
that upset
serious
me,
game.
What really upset me was they were supposed to be going fishing. I didn't see them
didn't
fish
see any
one
fishing
time
at all.
Not one time.
Which is another thing. You know you're having a good date when you don't even get to do the thing you were doing because you're just having so much fun together.
No, exactly.
He killed it.
Yeah,
and then, like you
it.
Said, at the end of the whole night, the shared experience of the father's deaths. Oh my gosh. It's not like her father passed away and he lost his even brother.
Yeah.
They both lost their fathers. Like, bro.
Now, you know who
talk
actually
about
is
just,
a...
bonding there.
Who would you put after this next episode as the runner-up from Greg?
I want to say Connor.
Really?
Yeah, because it just felt like they've had the most vulnerable moments and just that's kind of he's been the most open with her. I just felt like he's been the most kind of like vulnerable with her. Like that's if I could put my money on it, I would say like right now, those are the two front runners. So
Michael's my number two. I think Connor lost during the therapy session, which we can get into.
We'll get into that
too.
But
I was just curious. I wanted to see if we were aligned mentally.
I would say it's close between all those, but I would say that like I felt like realistically she feels the most comfortable, you know, other than him. Okay, let's get into the mud wrestler situation.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yes.
Becca was showing me Brokeback Mountain vibes.
Okay.
The memes that some girl was sending.
Oh, yeah?
That killed me.
What I love about these type of events are whenever there's these bachelorette episodes, whenever there's a physical event, whether it be the rugby or the whatever, the dudes, I just love the guys that like think that if they win the game, that the girl will be most into them.
Yeah.
Like it's such a meathead way to go about it. That it's like the guy that goes, if I beat him up, it'll be good. And then she'll love me because I'll be the Prince Charming. It's like, have you not learned anything? The women do not care if you're like the buffest guy there.
No,
like,
there's really only one fight that matters.
Only one. You're talking about Cody and Aaron?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. We also got to find out what the beef was.
Yeah.
Which was really great because we both had our thoughts about it.
Yeah.
You turned out to be correct.
Yeah.
I turned out to be wrong.
Yeah, so they know each other.
They know each other and they have beef.
And we still never really got the
Diego.
Truth. We never got the actual truth. It was just kind of about this guy being sketchy or whatever.
Well, basically we got the truth of that Cody is an untrustworthy sort of like he seems to be out for himself.
Yeah. He seems to be using the show maybe for, you know, gain.
He absolutely seemed to be using the show for, I don't know what the gain is for Cody?
Probably just, you know, Instagram followers or whatever, or more women to hit him up on Instagram or whatever, I'm guessing. But the fight goes down. It's intense. Like, they're going hard.
And it also seemed like they kept making them fight.
Yeah, because every other guy did it once or twice. They did it like six times.
At least that's what we see. You know, it's tough to make the like sense of like what was the time lapse in that.
Yeah.
Because everyone could have had like, you know, best of however many rounds. But Cody was getting his fucking ass whooped. Aaron is humongous.
Yeah, he's big. He's really big. And he's like big jock guy.
Huge lats. I mean, it's like Johnny Bravo body over here. Yeah,
he really did wide.
Yeah, he's like all shoulders. It comes down to the... He's a tiny waist, though.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I was like, it's kind of strange. Because he's that, like, it just comes down.
Real tight.
Yeah,
real
no junk in the trunk. V. He just comes down.
No
yeah.
junk. All up top.
Yeah.
So they go at it. Aaron then has his little date with her. He then kind of is honest with Katie about the drama. Now, I will say this. This is kind of where I started really liking Aaron. More so was because he didn't, like, go off on him.
No.
Like, that was a moment to be a douchebag. And be like, that guy's a piece of shit, and he's a womanizer, and you can't trust him, and you can trust me, though. Like, he just was like, honestly, you know, he's just not a great guy. We don't really like each other. All I'm going to say is that he's just not here. Doesn't seem to be here for the right reasons.
She pressed him further, and he's just like, was kind of okay, like we know certain people. I really don't like how he behaved in those circles.
But it was never like, yo, he was a...
Here's a specific example of like some douchebag shit Cody did, and this is why I hate him.
He kept it real chill.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she trusted him.
I feel really bad for Aaron's attempts to make progress with Katie.
They're always clouded with something else.
I think they really are. They honestly have been. And like, yeah, I feel like he's getting the short end of a lot of sticks.
Yeah. But you gotta love Cody. Because she then goes to Cody and goes like, why did you do that? And he's like, did what? He's like, well, you know, I've been hearing things about you. And he goes, I mean, I'd love to clear it up or whatever, you know. And then she's like, this is a weird answer. She's like, if someone said this about me, I'd be freaking out. And he's like, oh, well, I mean, well, sorry about that. And then when she cut him, he's like, okay, I understand. Like, what?
Everything Aaron said was true.
Like, I just felt like if I was being accused of something that was wrong, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I'd be like pissed at Aaron. Like, he was just like, he even said to Aaron in a weird way, he was like, hey, dude, why'd you even have to bring it up? Like, she wouldn't even have known if you wouldn't have said anything. Like,
that's such a fucking
weird thing to say.
That was the strangest thing to me, to be like, dude, if you hadn't have said anything, she would have never known.
That's like saying, dude, I know I cheated on my girlfriend, but if you wouldn't have brought it up at the party, she would have never known.
And then it would have been like I never cheated on her.
Yeah, like, if the only reason why she's pissed at me is because you told her.
He
was so guilty. It was obvious. What I felt like was going to happen probably was like a bunch of shit was going to come out on Instagram, and they were going to find later that like he had posted a bunch of shit before the airing that just said like about to go on and get a bunch of followers, like whatever. You know, you probably had a bunch of that stuff go on.
He probably had the realization where he was like, it's better to just walk out of this thing.
Yeah.
All right, broads, one more quick pause from the bros. Do you all remember in school when you had to create a presentation for the class on like the greatest invention of the 19th century or climate in California or whatever it was? That was my own personal hell. I could write the report easily, but designing a compelling presentation with graphics or videos, forget about it. And to this day, that is something I'm just not good at, especially now with social media, which is why I always get help. Work smarter, not harder, broads. With Canva, the easy-to-use design platform, you'll have access to everything you need to design like a pro.
Okay, seriously, you guys. Canva has templates and design help for everything. If you work in a corporate office and you need help designing a deck, they've got you. If you're a small business and want to generate some social content, no problem. If you need some fresh marketing materials, easy. With Canva, it's super simple to dive right in, and the amount of time you'll save by not having to learn design programs from scratch, priceless.
Mm-hmm. Canva includes a collection of over 75 million premium photos, videos, audio, and graphics. And if you have a Canva Pro subscription, you'll get even more time-saving tools that speed up the whole creative process. There are honestly so many ways to utilize Canva for your specific needs. Stop wasting your time trying to do everything yourself. Let Canva help. I cannot tell you how many times I have used Canva and it has saved me when I have been stuck for hours trying to work on something. I go, oh my God, I go on Canva, bada boom, bada bang, done, easy.
Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/chatty to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's Canva, canva.me/chatty. canva.me/chatty.
So then we get to Carl blooming into a beautiful, gorgeous villain.
Well, so this is also, yeah. So Katie clears the house.
She, yeah.
And that's like this sort of like this amazing intimate moment with everybody. Mm-hmm. They're all sitting there. There's a lot of camaraderie there too, because they feel like the room was cleared. Everyone's on a really good space. Everyone's feeling really good about each other.
The only negative vibe was gone.
Carl just gets this like, what was it? One of the guys goes, and then Carl just... And then Carl decided to ruin the night.
So sensitive.
I love thinking about it.
Such a sensitive like response.
Excuse me. My goodness. I just love thinking about villains in this way.
Yeah.
Where like, imagine we're all sitting here with a bunch of boys and we're just like sitting having a really good time. And then so, like, I just started to think to myself like, damn, everything's going so smooth. All right. I'm just, yep. I'm going to fuck all this up right now.
Evan, didn't you cheat on Jessica? Like, what? And then he decided to ruin the
night. That's what you told me. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I saw you with that girl. I'm not saying.
I'll be right back. I'm going to be... it's really rude of me, but I have to pee right now. But I'm going to be right back. We could talk more about that. You guys okay with that?
And everybody's like, what? And then you go tell Jess?
Yeah.
Like, it was...
I know. If Jess was in the room and I just dropped then leave.
And then he goes, this is too much. And he leaves.
Yeah, this is all just
He's practicing shadow box. You got to love that, too.
I just love that idea of, like, the decision
He's to an evil genius.
Fuck it all up.
Yeah. I'm going to get it. And I do love that
What did he say, too?
Well, he's like, he's doing this whole thing where he's like, you know, guys, I'm not trying to start anything.
And everyone's like, you just did.
You went and told her. You can't trust these guys, by the way.
And Carl's just so serious. He's like, I'm just saying, I'm not 100% convinced that 100% of the people are here are here for 100% of the right reasons.
I'm going to say this about it. I'm devastated about it because I was really excited to have a good villain.
Oh my God.
I was ready and we got him and he was there and he was gone. But and I was like, why did you get rid of him? Like, obviously, it's good that she got rid of him. But I was like devastated. I'm like, I need some more of this because him being in the house will cause so many problems. and just people will lose. He's in the corner just like, he's like shadow boxing going like, if someone comes through that door, I'm ready for him. Like it was literally, that was his mindset was like, I'm ready for the moment when they come through that door. For him not to have the gravity of the situation, like I'm probably going to leave. This is actually really dramatic. People are actually mad at me. He looked at it like, just another challenge, baby. And you can find it in my new book.
He held the room down though. He never backed down.
Never backed down.
He's like, look, you guys seem to be, he goes, I don't know who it is. It's not me. He goes, honestly, he goes, you're really loud. What do you got going on?
Yeah.
He keeps turning it around on everybody. He's like, look, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Which we find out he is not actually wrong.
That was so wild.
But of course he's not wrong. It's The Bachelor.
So we thought
one's there for the right reasons.
There's so much truth in that statement. But what I love about Carl, you know, Carl's just saying all this crazy shit. And then she's going like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying everything kind of thing. The guys are getting pissed at him. They're all pissed. And then he gets let go. And then we're all like, I'm devastated just for the pure sake of like the amount of feathers he would ruffle is just endless. Just like at least 2-3 more weeks. Let this guy just, because what he would do is what I love about villains in the franchise is that the villains expose others. And that's what the villains are, obviously the bad people. But what villains do is they show the character of the others who are acting perfect.
Yes.
They boil the blood. They rile up the people's true intentions and they reveal in them. They are the truth serum.
Cheers.
Cheers to the villains because they expose the other bad people. The people who are the wolves in sheep's clothing. Because then they start going, you're right. And then, the people who hate the villain then boils up and becomes this aggro rageaholic. And you're like, there you go. You just expose another one. If you get rid of the villain, the wolf can stay in the sheep's clothing.
Now, what Carl didn't expect
is that my man, Archangel Mike, was in the room during the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
And he literally pulled out that ace from his back pocket.
Dude.
Which is, we agreed to, like, you can trust him because he hasn't been corrupted by sex to lie for sex yet.
Yeah.
So he's 100% an honest person.
Yes.
And he comes up to Katie with just the, listen, collectively as a group, we've all talked. This was unprecedented too.
I loved it.
I've never seen a turn in events like this in the show.
I loved it.
And he's like, yeah, you know, we all agree that what Carl said is not true. And that the majority of the people here, like, this is good stuff. And what Katie's just like,
wild thing to do.
Of all of the guys, it was completely unplanned for, but he was the one guy who could have said anything about that. And she was 100% receptive to the truth in it.
Yes.
And then went and acted on it. Because then we see her talking to the girls and she's like, I was going to keep Carl.
Yeah.
We were all going to get what we wanted, but no one counted on the sweet angel of Mike. Sweet, sweet man, Mike.
Sweet, sweet Mike.
You Magic know Mike.
Non-sex Mike, so you know his intentions are pure. I miss Carl already. RIP, dude. Like, man, I was ready for some absolute heat from you. I was ready for some just wildness.
I just thought you were
here and you were gone.
RIP, Carl. You will be missed.
You will be missed massively.
Let's look all look forward to the men tell all. When Carl comes back on. Let's just look forward to that.
I love that. I would love that. That's what every villain lives their best life on the tell-alls. Because everyone who got cut.
Oh, it's coming back.
Because all the people that don't get with Katie in the end have nothing to lose at the tell-all. So they're just going off the handle the whole time. They're losing their mind. Let's talk about the Nick circle I thought was a good one. This was a very interesting...
Oh, now I get why you're calling it the Nick Circle.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of Nick Vial.
Nick Vial was there.
I keep thinking of like the Nick U, like the Nick Ward. The Nick U is like a hospital term.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Intensive care.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't referring to a random hospital term.
I don't know. I just kept hearing that. The Nick Circle. I was like, what the fuck is the Nick Circle?
What is he talking about?
What kind of surgical stuff are you talking about
here? Yeah, I'm big in the, you know,
Nick Vial, though. Okay, I'm here. I'm with you.
So this was an interesting move because, you know, she basically just senses like, yo, Carl might be onto something. I don't know if I can fully trust that he wasn't telling the truth. So I need to get a circle of the guys that I really like, and I need to kind of get some exposure here.
Absolutely.
It was very interesting because it did something that I just love about certain people, which is their inability to not talk and just open up about stuff they shouldn't open up about.
Or feel like they... Like, we're talking about Thomas, right?
It was a good combo. So, like, I would take Connor and Thomas as, like... And Hunter did a great job, too. So, like, Hunter and Connor... We're super real and honest and like we're very upfront about mistakes they've made and how they've changed since those mistakes.
Absolutely.
But Thomas took the cake as just the most insane shit ever.
Yeah. Well, also let's just applaud for Nick Vial on that one because basically Nick just came in and introduced himself and told us all once again that he has both been a contestant and the lead on the show. And he understands everybody. And that was pretty much his contribution into this circle.
He just cruised in. He's like, yo.
Easy cameo.
The beautiful thing about the circle, Evan got another villain.
Evan did get another villain.
And I love me a villain in the
show.
An
even better villain, too.
Way more maniacal. Way more,
devious.
Deviant. And his ability to manipulate is unmatched.
Because the man is airing his dirty laundry. Face to face.
Yes.
And it just must simply be that she loved getting picked up and put on his lap so much that she either just didn't hear him.
Yeah.
Or she did and she just doesn't fucking care because he's going to go to Fantasy Suites and then she's just going to axe his ass right after that.
Right. Yeah. Maybe she's just so hot for him that she's just like, okay.
That might just be it.
Maybe we should just hook up and then I'll get rid of it. Like, yeah.
Boy toy category right there.
Because... my thing was this. I love someone that like seems to be smooth and then exposes themselves for not being that smooth, because it was very confusing. He's been nothing but perfectly smooth the whole time. He's been a soap opera, perfect, like the way he talks, the way he looks, everything's just like, what's up? Yeah, oh my God. I just never felt this way. And I don't even want to, you're just great with it. And then the guy, so everyone in the circle just goes through and it's like, yeah, you know what? I wasn't great to my girlfriend, or I've gone through a lot in the past. And this guy confesses to basically what I would say is the worst thing you can confess to on the show specifically. Not in life, but on the show, which is the unforgivable sin of the show is you're here for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely.
And the guy confesses to being like, honestly, I went on a date right before this thing. The whole time, honestly, I just kind of had this thought of, I'm just going to use this for a platform. And to my shock and awe, I kind of like you.
Yeah.
And then she's just going like, interesting. Okay. Like, you could see her being like, I appreciate it. Right. To the fact where they have a date afterwards. She goes, I'm a little concerned with some of these red flags. He then comes back and interrupts Aaron, who's just Dr. Blood Boiler. I love him, but he's an absolute rager. He interrupts him, and then he wins her back within 2 seconds, and just goes like, honestly, I'm falling in love with you. And then like, she just goes like,
come back.
Yeah, and she just goes, you are hot. And then they just make out again.
We were literally sitting here being like, Evan verbatim just goes, Katie, are you really accepting that?
Right. I couldn't believe it.
It was so disappointing, to be honest. This is where I say her biggest flaw is her heart's too big, or she's too receptive to being valued to someone. Yes. In this way. It was like, dude, that is not, you literally, like, she stood up their first interaction. It was, he did not cleanse himself of what his admission in the circle. And she stood up and hugged him. It was the like butt out hug of like, all of the sexual tension between us is now gone. You've just thoroughly disappointed me. And then he comes back because he can sense that.
And he doesn't even say anything good. He's just like, oh, fear and
dude, and you notice
love
how
is similar, you know, and he's stumbling over his words. And at the end, he
had a rehearsed thing, a little speech to say to her. And he changes up his tone halfway through when he sees it's not really landing. Because the whole time he's sitting at her with just like the most shit-eating confident grin. That she's not returning to him.
Which is a weird thing he does.
He realizes this weird, because like, he's all pepped thing. Up. And he's like, you know, Katie, like, I was just thinking about this. Like, and I just realized how much you mean to me.
And which is a non sequitur. Like, that doesn't even mean anything. Like, you're just saying words.
But he just changed the tone, and then it landed, and then he drops the L-bomb.
Which is so lame. Dude, this is week 3. Week 3 of, like, you've had a couple, like, one-on-ones. Like, it's crazy. That's such bullshit.
Our Baltimore painter just starts laughing at him.
Yeah, he just can't believe it.
When he says it, he's just laughing in his face. Just like, cannot believe you just said that.
Justin.
Yeah.
Justin's like, what? Like, what? Like, listen, we're all into her, but, like, get what? Love? Like, I've known her for, like, 10 minutes. Like, dude, what are you talking
about?
And
this is where I feel like Aaron just keeps getting snubbed. It's because Aaron has it. I think Aaron's honestly a genuine guy. I think he's hot-headed because he's constantly like in this show right now. He is a victim in the time that he's being spent.
He really is,
because when he wins the wrestling bout and they give him the trophy for the mud wrestling thing, Katie uses that as an opportunity to talk about house tension between him and Cody, which is not what he was expecting going into it. So his time with her gets segued into talking about another guy. Which then, after he's basically validated by that experience, she sees him. Fucking what's-his-face, Carl, disrupts the entire room. And she comes out, guns blazing, for Aaron. Calls him back into it to be like, what the fuck do you want to tell me? And he's like, I don't know.
She wasn't even mad at him. She was just more like, I trust you, so you need to tell me if anybody else, whatever. So again,
I didn't pick up on that.
No, no. Yeah,
I thought she was like, you're not telling me the whole truth.
No. The whole thing was like, she was going like, hey, he's telling me this. I trust you because you told me about Cody. Is there anybody else? And he's like, I don't know. And so she's like, I need you to tell me if you just, you know, don't hide. But his whole thing is like, again, now his whole thing is just about someone else's drama.
Exactly.
It's never about her and him and their connection.
And then he's getting the opportunity. Finally, he has this one-on-one. And lo and behold, Thomas comes up, interrupts his time with her to drop the L-bomb, which then anyone following that
up. That was a panic move. That was a panic move.
Anyone following that up, though, is just like, they're fucked.
They're fucked.
And it's just like,
especially if,
of course, Aaron's going to start to lose his mind because he can't get a leg up with her.
Yeah.
Despite, like, you know, all his best efforts.
Right. Yeah. And it was sad that she fell for it, too, because he clearly panicked.
Yeah.
He dropped the L thing when he saw that he was losing her, you know, and then he dropped the L bomb. And then later on, when Hunter confronts him in front of everyone about it, Michael, again, instead of playing it cool, instead of learning his lesson, he goes, yeah, I thought about being The Bachelor. And I'm like, dude, have Thomas, you not?
Yes.
I keep saying Michael.
Again.
Thomas, again, just goes, well, I mean, just to say that I haven't thought about that would be a lie.
Which,
and listen, there's truth to that, right? Every single one of those guys, it has popped into their head, like, maybe if I get far enough and we don't fall in love, I could parlay this into another thing. Sure. But don't say it like that, dude. Like, don't, while you're on the chopping block, don't be like, yeah, I mean, I'd be great to be The Bachelor. It's like, dude, you, what is your problem? Like, you're so smooth, but you're also like the stupidest guy in the world at totally. The same time. Like, I've never met anyone who's like, be a maniacal villain.
Well, I love, or
be a super honest guy, but whatever's going on right now is super confusing.
I love that they were like, Carl's dumb.
Right.
And they're really intimidated by Thomas. But ultimately, like, what the thing that just popped into me is we keep bringing up Hunter. And we don't bring it. Hunter really surprised me.
Yeah, Hunter did.
Hunter really surprised me.
He stepped up in some big boy shoes there.
He really did, because there's a lot of guys who are going to be all talk, talkity, talkity, talk, talk, talk behind each other's backs. And the only back talking we see Hunter do is he just goes, wow, that's really, is that true? That's what he said to you? Because that's completely different than what he said to me. And let me tell you something. He goes, I'll be your friend. I'll be the nicest guy to you. The second you make me known, he goes, I'm going to be the polar opposite. That's what he said. And you go, okay, a lot of big talk. And then, you know, Thomas walks in the room and everybody's quiet, everybody's silent after they all
which
sit
has
around.
Happened multiple times with Thomas, by the way, where everyone's talking about him. He walks in and he gets to go, anyway,
and
yeah.
All these
crazy
big dudes are sitting around quiet. You hear grasshoppers, little whatever, tweet tweets. And lo and behold, little man Hunter does not, he stuck to his word.
He goes, you know what?
And called
I talk
him
about
the
this.
Fuck out.
He did.
And he didn't get heated or flustered in the middle of it too. Thomas tried to waylay and he goes, you know what? I think you're really good at conversation. I think you're really good at it. And I think you manipulated me. And I really don't appreciate that.
Which was kind of sweet too, because he admitted to being manipulated, yeah. Which is cute.
And
it was kind of cute.
He's like, you big old jerk.
You used me.
It. Yeah.
You dang it.
And everyone just felt for Hunter in that moment where they were like, here we go, man. Also, because he was so heartfelt in his thing where he's like, I just really wanted to be a provider for my family, but I was focused on, he was like, he missed the balance in the relationship. Yeah. He was too focused on providing the financial security that he sacrificed all the emotional security of his relationship. This is what I took it. Yeah, it's too bad.
I do love the fact that Thomas has just keeps outing himself. It's like, dude, like, pull it to, if you're gonna lie, be better at it.
This is where I wish we had a host back on for these moments in this house drama.
I wish the girls
were completely
given absent. They weren't even around. The show just used them as like just pepper every once in a while. Need that person to be able to come in and go like, kind of confront them a little bit.
Absolutely.
Like, what's the deal here? What's going on really here? Sit down with them.
Come in with this. So how's everybody doing? A lot of exciting stuff, right? We had a group date. We had some personal dates. There's some stuff going on.
I wish they would release the girls a little bit. I wish they would kind of let the girls go at them. I think that would be interesting.
It would be super interesting.
If you had the girls come in and just like go, hey, Thomas, what's the deal? I just want to see it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, do you think she took it?
Whenever we record this, his birth control alarm goes off.
I don't know why. Whenever we record the Patreon too, it goes off.
Goes off.
Let's ask her right now. She's been pretty good about it.
She's been good about it?
Yeah. So some people might find it annoying, but
the thing is, like 20% of the time, she didn't take it.
Really?
Yeah.
She got an 80-20, so it's good you have the alarm. Well,
because hers will go off. She'll be in the middle of doing something.
She's cooking, cleaning, living, working, like, whatever.
Oh, I'll get to that in a second.
Sure.
Forget.
Which we never do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the king of like having alarms going, oh, I should do that, and then I never do. You have to do it there.
Boom, right in that moment. That's why I love they give you the snooze button.
So it hits you again.
Yeah, they just know.
They know you.
They know me very well.
They know anyone. They go, I know what you guys are doing.
Snoozer.
Snooze. I know you're going to turn off your alarm and then go back to bed or not take the BC. But yeah, so, you know, I hope that Thomas goes full villain with it. I hope he keeps, I hope he just keeps going with it because we need that person to expose the others lying in
wait.
What
do you think his next move should be? Should he play the house against Katie to be like, I don't understand what they're talking about?
No, because
would it be like they're all ganging up on me?
No, because that never works. Well, you know what? It does work if you're handsome enough and you're sweet enough, and he is. That's kind of the Luke P thing.
If he goes to Katie and he's like, look, like I'm having a really hard time in the house right now. Like all these guys are really threatened by our relationship. And the fact that he goes, you know, I went out there and told everyone that I said that I was falling in love with you. And they all took it the wrong way. They all said that I'm emotionally manipulating you. You know that's not true. I know that's not true.
I can't tell you. I can't help what I feel. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm going to lie to you and tell you that we're like whatever.
You want me to downplay this every time I see you? Every time you walk in the room, you want me to pretend I'm not just overflowing with this feeling for you?
And then she's going, no, I don't want that.
I don't want that at all. And she's going to go in there and be like, who's bullying my mans?
Yes. And you can only do that if you're good looking and charming enough.
Oh, dude! I cannot wait for the next episode to come out just to find out who Aaron is yelling at when he's going. Don't yell at me!
Don't you yell at me! The dude loves to go off.
No, we were saying, I thought what we said about it was pretty spot on. We were saying that we think Aaron's one of those kids who, like, he grew up bigger than everybody else. And it was like probably someone really wanted him to play football.
Yeah.
And made him much more aggressive than he naturally is inclined to be.
Yes.
And, you know.
He's just really a sweet teddy bear that he was trained into being mad.
Yeah.
Like, you don't let that kid push you around on the field. Oh, okay.
He's getting pushed around. And he's like, no, like, stop pushing.
I don't even like this anyway.
Just like, stop pushing me. And that's why the coach takes him in and he's like, you know what we need to do? We need to go hit the weight room. Takes him in there. You're going to take all this aggression, all this anger, all this emotion right now. You're going to bench out 20 reps right now. But that's not his demeanor. That's not who he is at heart.
Okay. But he's really a sweet guy. You can tell he's a sweet guy that he has a lot of like that angst inside.
He's like in the superhero complex where he like feels the need to defend other people and like use his size and his power for his natural gifts for good.
Yeah, man. What about the Michael date? The Michael date was good. You know, they had a really strong connection.
It was incredible.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, she flipped the dune buggy or whatever, so which was a vibe.
Super vibe because she really didn't bring it up for a long time.
She didn't bring it up. And when she flipped it, she wasn't like freaking out.
No.
She was like, oh, I'm kind of caught in here, which is a badass move. She's kind of a badass chick.
She is.
She kind of keeps blowing. She kind of keeps like blowing my mind a little bit. Like she's like this, and all of a sudden she'll do some stuff and you're like, whoa, you kind of like, you got range.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Michael?
So, well, A, do you think I'm correct about his tattoo? That the three lines, I'm saying that the three lines on his arm are for him, his wife, and his son.
I thought that was, I can't imagine what else it is because it's such a random tattoo. He has no tattoos anywhere else. And he's just like hardcore, like three on the arm thing.
I feel like Mike was someone who was like, Mike had the potential to be sort of like a wild guy.
Yeah.
But his wife really grounded him.
Oh, not Mike, Michael. Because there's also Virgin Mike.
Yeah. No, this is Michael. This man is, what's a man who's lost his wife? What do we call that?
A widower.
A widower?
Yeah.
So he's a single dad widower.
Yes.
He's a Michael. This man's Michael. Moved past the Mike.
Yeah, Mike was the earlier stage.
So, man, and he's a business owner. He just like, I don't know. I don't think there's like, any sort of ulterior motive. Because at this point, I think so much of his focus is being a good role model for his son.
Mm.
That would be my biggest, that would be my big guess. And I bet one of the reasons that he has a hard time dating girls is because he also drops kind of those, that responsibility pretty heavily on people. Like,
well, he admitted in the previous episode that he's used to getting rejected.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a brutal thing. He's like, yeah, I just don't really like being around you. And, you know, the fact that we have this connection, I'm just used to being rejected by him. I was like, oof, that kind of sounds rough.
Because I bet he's like, well, okay, also, his wife died just over 2 years ago.
Yeah. So it's pretty raw still.
It's extremely raw still. So I bet the rejection is also coming from like the idea of like, this is probably way too soon. And like, I'm not the person for you to bounce back from that way.
And she was the only one he had ever said, I love you to. And they had been together for like 16 years. That was his woman for his whole adult life.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a guy who's going out for the first time since his entire only relationship. That,
what's my take on Michael? I fucking love Michael.
Yeah.
Michael for the win for me on this one. I don't even care. For the win isn't necessarily ending up with Katie. It's just winning from being on the show.
Just a good guy.
I want all of the success for Michael and his business, for him and his son.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, you can't argue with that.
Right?
But here's
what are you gonna say?
Here's my thing though.
Okay.
I think Michael is an absolute stand-up guy. Mm-hmm. Absolute 10 out of 10 personality, sweetheart, everything. Here's Michael's problem for Katie. Here's why he will be sent home. He has no danger.
None.
He has no, and you know, you just need a little edge.
We saw it on the rooftop.
He's just an absolute buttercup.
He's a real cupcakey guy.
He's a real cupcakey sweetie pants. And he's always like, he kind of wiggles his shoulders and goes, can I kiss you? Like,
yeah.
He's just too sweet. And and Katie, I think, likes a little edge. Like, even Greg and Connor, who come across as these kind of sweetie pants, there's edge to them. You can tell they've been around the block. They've done some things. Even when Connor admitted to, like, yo, I used to do drugs and I used to get wasted all the time and I cheated on my girl. Like, yeah, that's edge. And you could tell Greg plays Mr. Nice Guy, but you could tell Greg's, you know, been with a lot of ladies and he's kind of like probably done some, you know, wild stuff. Michael, no. Michael's just been a pure little baby the whole time. So I think that's a little bit of like, in her mind, they're like, this is perfect man. This is great guy. But I don't think he ruffles the feathers. He doesn't get the, you know, the vibe going. He doesn't create sexual tension.
No,
he creates like lovey dovey cuddle in the woods tension, but he doesn't create that. Like, I can't wait to like get with you on Fantasy Suites.
No, and
tension.
That's very true too, because also we see, I for sure thought, I can't imagine Michael on Fantasy Suites.
That's what I'm saying.
But we do see the time in which he's very sexually attracted, I think, or open to Michael is the emotional response.
Right.
To him talking about his wife. Which, God, I'm tearing up again.
Yeah. But it's just more like, but again, it's more like sympathy.
Yes.
It's not like the difference that happened with Greg, which was like, we both share this traumatic experience.
Not to mention she was just aroused for Greg before she
Yeah, so it's
that.
Like she was already into him, and then they shared this bond. So it's tough, because I feel like Michael is going to go far, and then I think he's going to get dropped, and it's going to be hard for him.
Yeah, same. Which, okay, bringing it back to Greg, notice Greg during all the house drama, he just keeps going.
He's just like, I don't want to deal with this.
Everyone keeps going on, they get sucked into this, and you just see him in the back like,
oh my God. Yeah, Greg's like, why are we even doing any of this? Like, how long is this show even? Like, really? Like,
and he's totally out of it.
He's out of it, dude. He doesn't even care. He is so take it or leave it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I keep yawning. I'm like so worn out.
He's take it or leave it. Wouldn't you say?
Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think Greg's that into her.
No.
I think he's kind of like, you're cute. We're having fun together.
We're going to see how this goes. I think Greg's someone who gets really turned on by the competition amongst guys too.
Yeah.
I think he's very into the idea of like beating out some of these like bigger, I don't know how you describe it, but like, you know, Greg has the, as I describe it, the lazy boy haircut.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are like very well put together. What's the guy who I said looked like the handsome Bradley Cooper, who looks nothing like Bradley Cooper to me now?
Right.
Yeah. Just like some angle, but he has the manicured eyebrows.
Oh, right.
And
he's always
we said he looks like he's modeling for GQ all the time.
Oh, the box guy.
Box guy.
Box guy.
Box guy.
By the way, just Greg epic. He looks like an Italian gangster all the time. Just like black suit with turtleneck and like a glass of wine. Like tight, what a wild dude. That guy always looks
super slick gel hair.
He just like, always looks like he's a Jersey, like
it was a
Italian
look.
Guy. It was a, such he's a always look. Just kind of like got that look.
Yeah, brown three-piece suit for the Rose one. Dude, he's just killing it.
He's always over the top with it.
But Greg is not that dude. And I think he really likes like...
No, Greg's like chill, bro.
Yeah.
He's not bro, but just chill guy who has like flannels and he loves like coffee and he just kind of lives like...
But I don't believe that he wears those flannels. I think the producers gave him and Katie those flannels to wear along with the boots.
Yeah.
Man. That doesn't... Otherwise, why would they be matching?
That's true. On a little side note, talking about clothing, Connor's outfits were killing me. Like he because he was wearing these like super low, like opened, like button downs deep, with like chains, like, and but they were like tucked into his pants way too high. Like he didn't know how to do it, but you could tell he was telling like the wardrobe stylist, like, "Hey, I kind of want to try something a little risky. Like, what do you got for me?"
And they're like, "Well, I want to show off. I got these chest." Because
it was like Cuban style, like the it went like. Like the collars were a little big.
The collars were like just inside of.
But
his
he had like light
blade.
Blue jeans, like up, and it was just like, bro, like you do not know how to wear that. Like that is a style you got to wear. Like you got to own it.
Can't wear a V.
Can't wear a V.
No.
But it's something you got to own.
You think you can wear a V?
A V neck or like a open V-neck. Shirt?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't wearing a V neck. He was wearing like a button down shirt that was just buttoned down a little bit.
Who? Yes.
Which I feel like you can pull off. I mean, it's just
you're talking about in the Knicks.
I'm talking about when he's like he was on the days and stuff like that.
White collar.
Yeah, and he's just and then there was a couple other times where he just kind of had like a shirt that was too open for him, and it's like it's a personality type.
Who's the guy who looks kind of like a cockatoo?
Oh, you're talking about the guy who I look. Okay, so this is hilarious because I personally think this
guy was wearing extremely deep V's and showing off his like weird like tribal chest.
Brendan.
Yeah.
Brendan, it makes me laugh because Brendan hits me as a celebrity pastor. Like he's got the tattoos and the deep V and the hair that just goes like this. The guy's a firefighter. Like he literally looks to me like a celebrity pastor. Like he's just a little too like, I don't even know what it is. It's a little out of date.
You know how, okay, so people look like animals they own.
Yeah.
I already said he looks like a cockatoo to me, but he looks like he'd be like a voice actor for like one of the birds in Rio.
100%. He looks like Rio, or he looks like one of those. It looks like an actual representation of a bird. The hair's like crazy. A little much. Anyway, good two episodes.
They're phenomenal.
I'm really liking the season. I think Katie's awesome. She just goes in on it.
Absolutely epic season. I mean, Evan and I cried.
I mean, dude,
we literally have cried already. We've been worked up. I think it's a great cast of guys, to be honest.
Great cast. A lot of openness, a lot of honesty, a lot of vocalness.
I also like a lot of them. There's not most of the time that people end up being really passive aggressive.
Yep.
And I think there's a perfect blend of passive aggression and actual like aggressive guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all coming from people we wouldn't expect.
100%.
And
love
that's
it.
What I'm really liking.
Love it. Digging it. I think it's going to be a hell of a season once the drama starts really picking up.
I said, dude, super excited for this next episode.
So give me your just quick top. Who's your least? Who's out of here? Who's staying? Or like, you know what? Just give me your top, your front runner, your top three.
Greg. Connor B. Fucking hey, Thomas is going to be up in there right now.
I completely
Greg,
agree
Thomas,
with all three
and
of those.
B.
Those three. And I love that they couldn't be more different from each other.
Couldn't be more
soap
different.
Soap opera actor,
and I couldn't
chill
be,
guy, I nerdy teacher.
Literally couldn't be more mad about all of it.
It's amazing. It's going to be great.
Like, how is she falling for these fucking assholes out of
she
all
she has
of
no
them?
Type. There's no type. I mean, obviously Greg's a type, but like the fact that she's going nerdy math teacher, soap opera manly actor, and chill bro is just like...
Who do you think the sleepers are? Because there's still guys on the show.
Sure.
We literally don't even know who they are. We haven't even heard from
them. I think Aaron's a sleeper. He has a chance.
Oh my God.
And I think Aaron's the only sleeper.
Okay, wait. My favorite. Yeah, Aaron could be. Aaron
I think what's
going
to happen to Aaron is if he doesn't
Baltimore,
make it far.
Baltimore, Maryland guy is a sleeper?
Baltimore, Justin.
Yeah.
Nah. I think she's lost it for him.
Yeah.
I think he's too cool. He plays it too cool. He's not enough emotion. True. He's always just like, I had a great time with you. It's a little too chill. Aaron, at least there's some passion there. He gets worked up about stuff.
So one thing we didn't talk about, subtle little detail on the show, while Katie goes out mid-roast ceremony after Mike drops that everyone thinks that Carl is wrong.
Yeah.
The guys who are whispering to each other, being like, dude, I just care so much about Katie.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Did you hear this? Because you,
it's like, dude, what are you guys doing?
Could you imagine just, being on this? Just quit. Like, I'm going to lean over your shoulder and just whisper this in your ear. Just like, yo, I just want you to know that I'm here for the right reasons. And I just, you know, I really care about Katie.
I care about her so much, dude. It's insane. How much do you care about her, dude?
Turn over. Yeah, dude. I'm just like, I'm so head over heels for her right now.
Oh, God, dude.
I want to make sure everybody's here to take care of her and that they're all here for the right reasons.
Who do you think, on a scale from 1 to 10, who do you think, like,
I mean, I honestly don't know because I'm also, while I'm developing feelings for Katie, because she's so amazing and so exceptional, and I'm definitely here for all these guys around me. I honestly think that they're all exceptional too, and I honestly am developing deep feelings of friendship.
Yeah, I honestly feel like the beautiful thing about this is, like, even if she doesn't pick me, I found brothers for the rest of my life.
I have something that I can walk off. I have relationships from, I've already won just by being
like Michael's
show.
Here.
And I really,
for her, Thomas is here for the platform. And I'm here for the friendship and the bond.
I guess, I don't know about you, but Katie's not the only person I care for on this show.
I can't tell if I love you more, bro, or her. Like, I'm torn right now because, like, I've spent so much good time with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She comes here.
We'll see you next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.